such an important step that most people kind of avoid.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by Moore Cohen, all the way from the West Coast of the United States of America. Moore is a designer and a brander, and she's a course creator, and she's a whole host of brilliant things. And we talk today about the foundations of good design. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/058. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. And today I am joined by the delightful Moore Cohen, all the way from the States. Thank you so much for getting up early to join me, Moore.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
No problem at all. We should maybe just explain that that Moore reached out to me to be on the show through a messenger message that was the best opening to a messenger message that I've ever had, which read something along the lines of, "I've just been sitting here wondering why Pete hasn't invited me to be on his podcast." And I thought that was a brilliant way in. So thank you for lightening up my evening when that happened, because that was brilliant.
You know, I have been quite fortunate to have been invited to be a guest on quite a few podcasts, and you were the only one who didn't. And I was like, why is that happening? Does he not know who I am, or does he not want to talk to me?
No, it wasn't that at all, and I was delighted that you reached out. We're going to talk a whole load of stuff around design today. So before we get into all of that, do you just want to explain a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what you do, etc.?
Sure. I've been a branding and web designer for over 20 years. That's a scary number. And I've done everything from very small sites, one pagers, templates, all the way to really large branding and web projects. You know, I love design. I can talk about design 24/7, so please stop me at some point. And it's just, you know, I kind of grew up with the internet. When I started, there was no internet actually. And I did most of the work, all of the work actually, for print, in early days, Photoshop. And then when web design came into play, I just really fell in love with it. Actually, it was kind of an accident, because I did some logo work for a client, and he said, "Well, this is great. Can you design our website?" And before I knew what I was saying, I just said, "Oh, of course, sure." And then after the conversation, I just, you know, kind of said to myself, "What did I just do? I have no idea how to do this." And I jumped, you know, head first, and here we are.
Fast forward 20 years, and you wouldn't think that your career had taken the path that it's taken.
Yeah, absolutely. It was completely unintentional, but very much appreciated.
So you do still do client work, don't you? But then you've also developed some course resources as well on top of your sort of day job.
Yes, I do clients work. I have shifted more towards helping course creators with developing and branding their courses. You know, anything from their ads all the way to, you know, the course itself, all their downloadables, logo, all their brandings, every piece that touches the course before, during, and after enrollment. So I still do these large projects for clients. But yes, I have a course out. It's called Design Class, and it is for people who are somewhat design challenged and are marketers, web developers, or business owners who are creating their own websites.
Now, this is really one of the sort of the crux of the start of where I wanted to start talking with you, because as you know, the podcast is basically for marketing consultants who normally have a background in some sort of copywriting, be it as a copywriter themselves or a journalist, or, you know, they work with words, they don't work with design and with pictures. But as a marketing consultant, of course, their clients talk to them about every aspect of marketing, and that includes design. And they often don't quite know where to start. So, you know, what are the things that you really need to be looking out for in design? Where is the best place to start a conversation with about design?
Well, you know, people who sell any kind of digital service need to understand at least the foundations of good design, mm-hmm. Because it's such a crucial part, in my opinion, in a project where content obviously is extremely important, but design is part of the content, and the way we present words sometimes can make or break an entire project. So I do think that marketers should have at least a very good foundation as far as design goes, as far as typography, colors, compositions of elements, you know, layout, spacing. You don't need to be an expert, and no one can, you know, should become an artist, but they should have at least a good foundation. So even if they have other people on their teams doing the design work, they can, you know, judge that the design work because they have the knowledge of the different elements.
So absolutely. So I think that's, you've made a really good point there, which is that people often pigeonhole design a bit like they pigeonhole web development, that you have to be a designer to do it. Whereas actually design's completely subjective, isn't it? We can all have an opinion, and we can all offer our opinion to it, but there are some sort of ground rules that we need to kind of adhere to follow.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, there are methods to design, good design, and when you learn these methods and you learn these kind of rules, you never look at design the same way again, because you understand that there is, you know, if you follow step by step that, you know, the sources and the resources, then you understand why some things look good and some just don't. And there are reasons for that.
So can you give us an example of why something wouldn't look good?
For example, if we take typography, mm-hmm. There are certain fonts or typefaces that look great for certain applications, but would look less appropriate for other applications. It all depends on the actual brand we are designing for, their messaging, their target audience, you know, everything is kind of tied up together. When that font or font pairings speaks the same language as the brand, then everything is cohesive and it flows, and the people who are the end users, you know, have a much better chance of connecting with the content. Whereas if we're using just another typeface that is completely wrong, you know, people just move on. They will never know that it's because the typeface isn't right, but something will not work for them.
You're dead right. Now I'm just looking, I've got your landing page for your course open at the moment. So if mm-hmm. if anybody wants to follow along with this while we're talking, if you head over to peteeverett.com/design course, you will, design class, peteeverett.com/design class, then you will, you'll see Moore's landing page. And there's, you can see exactly what she's talking about the use of sort of serif and sans serif fonts, but also pairing them alongside color as well. So, you know, I noticed that, for example, you've got sort of two boost colors on your page. So most of the copy's in black, which is absolutely fine, different weights of black. And then you have a sort of burnt orange red type boost color, and you've got a yellow type highlight boost color as well. And the three colors, that's sort of broadened your palette a little bit. And those three colors together, you can then draw attention to particular points or to call to actions or to whatever it might be. And you are communicating visually as well as through the content. And I guess that's really the point.
Yes. It's a whole composition. And I think the base point is understanding who we are talking to. I start the course and I start each and every project of mine as well with really a deep dive into the end user and understanding who they are and what they're looking for and what language they can understand, visual language. And I think that this is so important, and it's such an important step that most people kind of avoid. They turn on the computer, they install WordPress, and they think that they can just start moving pixels around, but that's not right. There's a lot of research that needs to go into each and every project beforehand.
There's so many, I've had this wild idea, sort of, there's so many different aspects to marketing but they all start with this deep understanding of your customer. And it's not something that's kind of a piece of research that you can do in an hour just in order to get something going. The best businesses, or the businesses that are growing the best, have this innate kind of understanding. They breathe the same air as their target audience. I guess that's really the best way I can put it.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you.
And I've kind of got this idea that, I do it the same in the SEO course that we launched earlier this year. Our first module is about understanding your audience, but I don't know what you were like when you were putting this together. There's so much to understanding your audience that you could kind of do a course about understanding your
audience. Oh, yes. Yes. It would be a course about the discovery phase. Yeah. People don't really understand how important it is and how crucial it is when you're working on projects to really, really understand. Because it's like you go to a foreign country, and if you don't understand the language that people are talking, you will never be able to communicate with them. You can, get from one place to the next by showing them maybe your phone and asking them to point and, at a direction, but you can't really speak the language. And it's the same thing. You have to really know the area that you're in. And marketers are usually really good at this, but then they have a problem translating it into actual design words. Mm.
I think there's a pressure on there as well, which is when you win a new client and you start onboarding a new client, you want to demonstrate how good you are to them, and you want to please them. And you often a client has got you in because they have some work that needs to be done, and it needs to be done now. So you dive straight into that first project, whatever it might be. And this kind of gets skipped over because, you're wanting to please them. They've got work that you need to do. And all of a sudden this seems to take a back seat. But actually having that time put to one side, which says, actually, I do want to work with you, but in order for me to work effectively, I need to understand this. It reframes the way that you're going to interact with that client and what you're going to produce for them over the next, 5, 10, 12 years, maybe.
Absolutely. And I think that, when we communicate that to the client, they understand that this is such an important phase that we will not be able to do our job right for them, then they will not be getting the results that they're after if we both don't spend the time to really understand and plan according to, who their audience is. You can't really do an effective job if you don't understand the client, their brand, their customers, their goals, because this is the starting point.
Absolutely. You know, and this is why I'm getting excited about producing something about this, because it's kind of, you know, if the client doesn't know that, they should. But if your client doesn't know that, then you're in a prime position to then lead them through this process.
Absolutely. You know, you absolutely need
tools and whatever. And I know from your course, you have a brand intake form, which, you know, sort of helps you sort of guide that conversation and guide those assets and audience demographics and all that kind of stuff.
And it's actually the same form that I'm using for my own clients. So I know it works. The questions that I ask are very directive, and I can draw at least the initial information from it. I don't start a project without having this all really filled out and after I've had time to really think about what's in there and, you know, the direction that I need to take.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So just moving this on a little bit, how do we know that design is limiting the reach of our clients? What are sort of the telltale signs that, you know what, we're going to need to step back and just review what's going on here?
You know, the first thing is your... let's say a website as a piece of content, is it converting visitors to clients? Are they asking questions? Are they involved in what you're offering them? Mm-hmm. And if they don't, then, you know, they either don't understand, you know, what you're trying to convey, or there's something that's like making them turn away. And most often than not, it's not even about the quality of the content, but it's about the design and the way that this content is being presented.
You know, I can thoroughly reflect with that. So we work with a client that is in the industrial water sector. So it's a bit of an unsexy environment to be in. You know, they deal with getting clean water into places, purifying it when it's there, and then getting dirty water out of places, which the less said about that, the better. but they, you know, nonetheless, they have come to us and they spent a significant amount of money. It wasn't a small budget. It wasn't massive, but it wasn't small. On developing a website with somebody else, and they came to us for some AdWords help. And no matter what we did, those AdWords just weren't working.
Yes,
it didn't matter. We threw the kitchen sink at this flipping thing, and it just didn't work. And it came down to us saying, you know what, we're going to lift your AdWords off your website and we're going to put up some bespoke landing pages. It did have their logo. I think their logo was about the only thing we kept. But, you know, we're going to start from scratch on this one, because we can't work with that framework. So unless we're going to rebuild the whole thing for you, you've brought us in to do this bit, we're going to move this bit somewhere else. So it really did have that make or break sort of impact on the conversions.
Absolutely. And you know, people don't realize how crucial, how important, how significant design is. Because even if I'm sure you kept the content more or less the same, but if you present it in a different way that is especially designed for their target audience, then people can relate to what they're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The one of the things with doing AdWords is, of course, it's a sort of forever moving beast. So we did look at the design, but we did also look at the copy, because we're trying to do things like improve quality.
Sure.
And those kind of things. So it was a mix of the whole thing, but I can hand on heart say, if we hadn't reviewed that design, we would have just got the same. Look, we tried for a few months. This wasn't like a flash in the pan. We did try for a couple of months, because the client was a little bit reluctant to move on to another platform. You know, we've just paid for this website. Why would we start using something else? And we ended up saying, look, just trust us on this, please. And
yes.
And sure enough, that was the result. So it definitely does work. And I think, you know, a friend of ours speaks, is a translator for sign language. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that struck me as you were just talking earlier was, and I've never really thought about design like this before. The thing with sign language is that, you know, anybody can go to a class and learn the basics of sign language. But what our friend talks about is when you become proficient with sign language, you kind of develop a sign language accent. And I know that sounds really stupid.
No, sounds very smart.
but design, good design is more than just having the components correctly. It's about developing your accent to your brand, isn't it? To speak in the same, have the same sort of micro expressions that your customer is expecting. And it's all those little things that you probably couldn't pinpoint all of them, but when you put them all together, they do make a big change.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, design is not just typography and it's not just colors. It's kind of a whole symphony coming together. And, you know, I teach my students how to take each component and how to put everything together, essentially into a style guide. And, you know, that piece of you know, information, the style guide contains everything, and it's like a roadmap for everything that they create: a website, social media, graphics, ads, you know, any kind of collateral material that they have, you know, landing pages, opt-ins, and when you have all these elements put together in a document that you use over and over, then you know you are always speaking this language with this same accent in whatever you do. So you know for a fact that your audience will connect with each and every piece of information you put out there. So this is so important. It's not just each element on its own. It's how to put everything together.
You know, and that just that bit that you've said there is something that anybody on this podcast can take away and put into their discussions with new clients to talk about. You know, this is a joined up picture. There is a lot of work that needs to be done, but it's not insurmountable. And by putting this process, by putting this guide in place, you know, I can help you, or we can help you get from where you are to where you want to be. And that, yes. There's your sales pitch right there.
Yes. And, you know, clients, they don't expect to be given this roadmap. And they are always delighted by it because it gives them, okay, this is my brand. This is who I am. So even if they're doing, you know, little things on their own, there's something on their social media, something, you know, an email that they send, this is their voice for everything that they do. And it's, you know, it's always, they're always so appreciative. And it really puts us as marketers in a whole different level when we come to a client with this, because most people who are not well educated as far as branding and how the design process goes, they don't offer that. So when we offer this to clients, and I hear this from my students over and over, when they come to clients with this style guide that they have put together for them, they are instantly moved into another sphere of experts in their clients' eyes.
And, you know, that is ultimately what builds a lasting relationship.
Yes.
Builds your business and builds your credibility, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, you know, more, I think it's, you've really navigated a heck of a lot into such a concise course. I think it's brilliant. Just to remind everybody, you can find the course at peteeverett.com/design class. Just to clarify, the course, it is a class about design, and you've specifically made it for people that aren't designers. So you are looking for people that are outside of that remit. You know, you're not trying to teach designers how to suck eggs here. You are trying to reach people that aren't natively in design and teach them these concepts.
Yes. And, you know, I do have quite a few designers in the course who keep you know, saying, well, I've been doing this for so many years, I didn't know, you know, why, and now I understand why, and now I have better systems in place, because the course is structured in a way that it kind of builds all the elements together, because kind of goes from, you know, one step to the next. So designers do find it helpful, but yes, the majority of people who find the most help are marketers or developers or business owners, entrepreneurs who are building their own websites or pieces of, you know, social media graphics or anything like that, because they can have the process and the tools in place to really do things on their own and the right way. And just so you know, I would say that most of the tools that I'm referring to in the course are free. Most non-designers don't have access to, you know, Adobe Creative Cloud or, you know, any of the other fancy programs, but there are tools available online for everyone that if you know how to use them and you know how to get the best out of them can help people in a huge way.
Brilliant.
And so this is what I teach.
Fantastic. And, you know, Moore's course does have fantastic reviews. Moore and I, as Moore mentioned at the start, we have been sort of operating in the same circles, and it does have very high regard through the sort of WordPress community. But don't let that put you off. It's not a WordPress course.
Oh, not at all.
About design. So look, Moore, thank you for coming and sort of talking us through that. Now, I do have a bit of this is kind of a bit of a sideways question on this, but we were having a discussion in our office the other day about Google Fonts, because as some of the guys listening may know, my business is kind of in two halves, and one half that's kind of led by my business partner. He's I'm in danger of making him sound like a kind of old fogey here, and that's not the case at all. But he's much more sort of traditional in his way of doing things, and I'm the digital lead, and that's the way it works. But we were having this discussion because I keep on saying how brilliant Google Fonts is, because we can, you know, they're under a public license. There's the library's growing all the time. They sync into Creative Cloud. They do all of this stuff, and we don't have to worry about the licensing. And then, of course, he's turning around and saying, but I've got a library of 400 premium fonts here that now I can't use because we can't put them on a website because we need to find nearest matches and this, that, and the other. Where do you kind of sit? Do you think something like Google Fonts, the open source market, if you like, for these things, has helped you, or do you think it's a hindrance because of sort of the older way things were, where it was, you know, I have my fonts and I can use them because it's only going in a PDF kind of thing?
I am Google Fonts' biggest fan ever. I think that unless a client comes in with something extremely, you know, custom made, or, you know, something in their branding that requires a premium font, there is really no need. And I'd much rather, you know, the clients spend their money somewhere else than on fonts, especially because we want to be, you know, browser compatible. We want to make sure everything flows and works everywhere. And Google Font is just amazing for that. The pairing possibilities are literally endless. Of course, if you know how to pair fonts, even in Google Fonts, but it's an amazing tool. It's one of the, you know, Google Font and Unsplash, I think, is the two biggest gifts to web design that we could have ever hoped for.
I'll make a note of those in the show notes so that people can go and check them out. But yeah, I must admit, I'm with you. The consistency that comes from being able to not compromise on something right across all your social media graphics and whatever, it does make it a far better experience, in my opinion, for the end user. And I kind of picked Google Fonts because that was the discussion we were having the other day. But I do like the fact that, you know, you can log into Canva and it's got all the Google fonts in there. Yes. Or you can go into, I don't know, Relay That or something, and it's got all the Google. So it's not just that the fonts are freely available, but there are free tools out there that you can help you with your marketing that also use Google Fonts.
Exactly. And you know that, you know, everything would look right and everything will be consistent and, you know, it will all look like it's coming from the same home. It's just, I think it's an amazing tool. I very rarely use any custom fonts anymore.
As developers in our team do groan actually when something comes through and, you know, it has a custom font on it.
Yes.
all they end up doing is finding an option in Google Fonts as a fallback anyway.
That is true. That is very true. And you know, there's really no need. I think as of right now, there's like over 900 fonts in Google Font. And I, you know, as designers and developers, we should be so lucky as to use all of them before we get tired of them. Because you and I both know at the end of the day, mostly we end up with the same 10 anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That's not entirely true. But really, I think I love the pairing possibilities. There are tools available, again, and I go, I teach in the course that teach you how to pair things from a technical standpoint and from a visual standpoint. And I think all the information is there. You just need to know how to use it and you can produce amazing results.
You can indeed. And of course, in a tool like Google Fonts, if you use their web browser application, then you can actually do the pairing sort of in real time, can't you? You can select the fonts that you're interested in and then pair them against each other and see them with some real text in there so that you get a feeling of how they're going to work.
Well, I go a lot deeper than that, but you know, because there's considerations. When you look at the typeface, there are considerations as far as the weight, as far as the you know, the actual composition of each letter and how the words are formed together that you need to take into consideration when you are pairing it with a different font. So I do go pretty deep into that because, again, the right pairing would look right and will flow, whereas the wrong pairing will be off, but not most people will not be able to tell you why.
Yeah.
But when you know, when you understand the rules, it all becomes, you know, so obvious to you. Now I have my student come back and say, "You've ruined everything because now I look at things and I know why you're not working, why this is not good." And you know, it's you tend to look at things in a different way when you understand why they're working.
I think one of the things people get wrong with fonts as well, and now we're kind of going back to what we were talking about before, but one of the things people get wrong with fonts as well is that in the print world, you know, space is limited and print is expensive, and therefore you can understand why things would be, they would have quite tight kerning on them and the leading would be quite tight in order to get more into the space that you're paying for. I get that. But one of the beautiful things about the web, of course, is that space is infinite. Your page can just keep on going.
Yes. And
therefore, you can space things out and you can give it that air to breathe. And one of the mistakes I see so much is when, you know, you see text that's leaded on its same font size, for example, you know, so 20 on 20, whatever it might be. And everything is so tight together. And you think, I don't mind scrolling. In fact, my finger just does it anyway, right? So
Yes. So
give me some room here.
Absolutely. The right spacing is, you know, as important as everything else. And, you know, sometimes what's not on the page is as significant as what's on it. And again, that's another element to the design that I go over. You know, the right line height is extremely important. It's people don't understand how significant it is, but it goes, you know, it can take someone from just looking at a chunk of text and saying, you know, your mind just goes into this numbing place where I'm not going to read this because it all looks like one chunk, you know, of letters. And the mind, our mind does not have time or space to comprehend what you're trying to say. Whereas if you use the right, you know, character spacing and line spacing, the information that you're trying to convey is so much more digestible.
Yeah.
But again, if you don't know what you don't know, it's hard for you to construct things in the right way. And, you know, I don't blame marketers or developers who or business owners who are non-designers for not knowing these things, because no one really teaches them how to do things properly. So it's really not their fault. But if, you know, once they understand the process and they understand that they too, you know, can construct these on their own and they don't have to hire an expensive designer. Look, I'm a designer, you know, I'd like designers to keep, you know, on being hired. But I think for the most part, you know, unless the budget really is there, people can do things on their own, and it, you know, everything will be really professional looking, cohesive, with the right flow, with the right messaging. And you know, even when designers, when marketers have designers on their team, if they have the right tool to understand the designer's work, how much more effectively can they communicate with a designer and with their developers, and how, you know, smoother the process is for the entire team to go through when all the resources are there. You know, I have quite a few agency owners who have taken the course and have their team take the course, and you know, all the processes that I outline became one of, you know, became part of their workflow. Mm-hmm. Because now everyone goes through the same stages and the same, you know, ideas, and it just makes everything run so much smoother and faster.
And it's also, by doing all of that, you can also then give the right advice to the client as well.
Yes,
absolutely. You know, to say, look, what you need here is design, because actually you need a system for this. You need to be able to, you know, this typography isn't working for your brand. This this is limiting your communications, whatever it might be. Being equipped to have that conversation, even it that is just adding value and giving the right advice to your client. Even if you then need to get some support in actually delivering that, it's the better place to be to be able to give that advice. Yes. In the first place, in my mind.
Yes. And again, not always. A designer isn't always something that is a necessity or that the budget allows for it. And you know, if you have, as a marketer, if you have the knowledge, you can at least get the ball rolling in the right place for your client and explain and communicate effectively as to what it is that needs to happen. And once the client sees that, then, you know, their perception of you as an expert, it just goes into a whole different level.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. More, I think that's given us a really good summary of you know, what you offer through Design Class, and why we should all have at least a base understanding of how this sort of whole process works. Thank you so much for your time today. And if people want to reach out to you online, what's the best place that they can find you?
Well, they can find me on Facebook always. They can
you send great Facebook Messenger messages. That's all I'm going to say.
I also have a design-focused Facebook group, which I'm sure you'll be able to give a link to your audience, and I'd love to see everyone there.
Fantastic. I'll drop some links in the show notes. Thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was an amazing pleasure.
That's right, More is awesome, and so is her course. You can find out more about it at peteeverett.com/designclass. And while you're doing that, jump into our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group and join me and More and lots of our guests and loads of brilliant marketers as we talk about lots of different stuff around marketing, running your own business, how to structure things. Oh, it's just brilliant good fun. Just come and join us in the group, and we'll see you next week.